Fox Sports Knoxville is proud to present the show that the fans deserve.
I'd consider myself a realist, all right, but in philosophical terms, I'm what's called a pessimist.
The show that the city needs.
This town deserves a better class of sports radio. And we're going to give it to them.
This is Talk Sports with John Reed and Cody McClure.
Leave one wolf alive and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the Fan Run Studios, John Reed, Cody McClure, Cam Black. For the next 3 hours, we will talk sports and other things as we get you to the weekend. How are we today? Thumbs up from Cam, Cody.
Doing all right, John. It's good to be here, good to be anywhere. How are you?
I'm good.
Yeah.
Solid.
Yeah. That's good.
Rainy, which I beat the rain. You and Cameron did not. You guys are both wet.
Nope. I am soaked.
I beat it barely, but I beat it.
I'm soaked.
I'm perfectly dry.
I'm not.
No, you are.
I'm pretty sure that we wore these two shirts last Friday.
I thought about that as I put this Hops and Hollers shirt on that I did wear it Friday because I remember me and your mother had to argue against you and Cameron.
Right, you were both wrong.
On Friday.
And I wore
maybe
this.
Maybe it was just last week. I don't know if it was a Friday, actually, now that I think about it.
I want to say it was Friday. It might not have been. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's hard to say. But I was wearing this shirt the same day because I remember looking around and saying, oh, there's so much blue in here. You know, I had blue on. You had blue on. The Lysol cans were blue. So we're kind of doing it again, I guess.
We are doing it again.
Didn't even do it on purpose.
What are the odds?
About 1 in 5 for me.
So take that, multiply it by 1 in 12. Like, how many shirts do you think I have in my rotation for shows? I mean, not that I wear like out and about, but like for shows.
More than me?
Yeah, like 10, 12.
12, I mean, call it 12. So it's a 1 in 17.
No, 1 in 60 chance.
So you multiply the 12 by 5?
Yeah.
Because we'd have to be wearing them same day.
Right.
Yeah. You passed statistics the first time.
Yeah. Can I get a
good for
point
you
retroactively?
No.
For trivia?
Like, you already won, didn't you? Or did I? No, I won.
Yeah,
I
you
won
for trivia. Can I get a point retroactively for that? He thought 1/5 times 1/12 was 1/17.
Look, statistics.
Can you get some more math equations on the trivia?
Absolutely not.
Can you do some of those?
No. I can do multiplication tables.
1 in 60 chance it would have been. So that would be like what, roughly what, 1.7%, 1.75%? 1.8,
so
I guess, maybe.
If you had 60, they used
60
to,
combinations.
They used to make it a thing like if you had a sack full of 60 whatevers, 60 cheeseburgers, and one of them had a blue bun,
yeah,
you would pull out the one with the blue bun.
Right.
1 in 60 chance you'd do that.
Yeah.
That'd be a really gross...
in this situation, it'd be like more like one bun was purple, one bun was blue. The burger with that, I guess, just to keep it the shirts, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Imagine sticking your hand into a sack full of cheeseburgers. It'd be gross, wouldn't it? Just cheeseburgers. Just
especially
the
if you
feeling.
Didn't know if it was cheeseburgers, you know what I mean? Like if you didn't know it was burgers.
Yeah. Yeah.
I always like those videos where people are reaching into the mystery box and they don't know what things are.
I saw one of those the other day where a guy was like,
it was just a potato.
He was so scared. He's like, oh, it's rough.
Yeah.
It's rough. Like you think it's something alive. Yeah, it was a potato.
I loved, there was a scare tactics, shows like that, or at least maybe it was something along those same lines where they'd go into a really dark room and have to do it. And they're on like a horror show. So like sometimes it would be something gross, but then every now and then it'd just be a cat. Which, you know, if you rub the cat the wrong way, it could be a bad day for you.
And it would be weird to touch a cat and not know it's a cat.
Right. It's a fun exercise.
Yeah. We should do that sometime.
I don't feel like getting a box.
I'll bring in a snake.
You're not going to do anything.
I'll bring in a snake.
No, you won't.
Yeah, I will. I'll go to the pet store and get one.
No, you won't.
I will if we play the game.
We can play the game if you want to put it together and go get a snake.
I don't want to do that.
Yeah. I had a feeling you weren't actually going to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't like snakes.
Sure. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Okay. What's the story of the day as we come here on Friday, May 22nd?
It's Memorial Day weekend.
It's Memorial Day weekend. Tennessee got a commitment today. I think that's the big story right now, is right before we came on air. Trinity Bell commits to Tennessee, becomes Tennessee's 24th commit so far of this cycle, which we know there will be attrition. We know there will be some processing. But right now, Tennessee is sitting with 24 commits in the 2021 football class. A three-star out of Alabama. Tennessee goes back down to Alabama, gets another prospect. If you just look at the star rating, probably not going to be overly impressed. Three-star, 510th ranked player on the 247 composite. But you beat out Auburn and you beat out Florida for him. So, you know, you continue that trend of getting ahead of them. Like, that's the tier of teams Tennessee needs to be focused on, in my opinion. Let's leave the Alabamas and Georgias along for now. Let's catch the teams ahead of us more directly before we start worrying about the biggest of boys. Let's pass Auburn and Florida and cement ourselves as the top of the second tier of the SEC. Or at least right there in terms of talent-wise with Texas A&M. Let's do that. That's my goal for this recruiting cycle. Finish ahead of Auburn, finish ahead of Florida, finish ahead of A&M. Might be tough to finish ahead of A&M. I don't know. They usually recruit pretty well. Texas, all those things. We don't really have to worry about them, so they're not as much as an issue. Right? Like, I know Auburn's not on your schedule in most years, but they're in Alabama, so you do go head-to-head to get, you know, with them for recruits more often. If somebody wants to go to Texas, Tennessee can't do much about it. Like, they have beaten Texas A&M for a couple commitments lately, but for the most part, let's focus on beating Auburn and Florida. That's my goal for this recruiting cycle. And again, this isn't a big prospect in the sense of star rating. He is a big prospect in terms of size, Cody. 6'7", 260-pound tight end.
Kind of looks like LeBron.
He looks nothing like LeBron. He looks more like Patrick Mahomes.
No, I mean with the build. He looks like LeBron. Size of LeBron.
Oh, you just mean like his build?
Yeah, I don't mean he... I mean, I'm not saying he looks like LeBron. I mean, I guess that is what I said. But
you watch like his highlight film or something?
No, I'm just saying 6'7", 260. When you say that, I think, oh, LeBron.
LeBron really got up more to like 290, they said. Like he was more... He had kind of... once he put all that muscle on, he got up to like 290.
Yeah, his muscles are very thick.
Yeah.
They're very dense, it seems like. LeBron has really good size arms.
There was the stories going around about LeBron actually being fat last year. Like LeBron's gotten kind of fat. He's up to like 285, 290. I'm trying to watch a 19-second highlight, fat. And Trulicity wants to show me a 60-second advertisement, so no.
Can you not just skip it?
No, you can't.
Oh.
So I'm not watching the highlight out of principle of it being a 20-second highlight and a 60-second ad. No, thank you.
Yeah, that's 75% ad, not a good ratio.
There are very few videos I would watch that are 20 seconds that I would watch a 60-second ad for, and almost all of them are dirty.
Are they?
Yeah, yeah.
How do you know that one wasn't dirty?
It said it was a nice catch, so maybe
could
it was pretty
nasty.
Could have
been him just destroying a safety.
Yeah, not the type of dirty I would look for.
What would you look for?
A white horse falling into a mud puddle.
That would be dirty. Be a little too dirty. I had a white horse kick me into a mud puddle once.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
No, you didn't.
Well, it wasn't a white horse. It was a brown horse.
Yeah.
Her name was Pumpkin.
I knew it was already a lie. Like, it started off as a lie.
But I did get thrown into the mud.
Okay.
And that can be confirmed.
I will believe.
Stop telling me things I didn't do. I know what I did.
You just admitted that you did not do it.
Well, it was not a white horse.
Okay.
But it was a horse.
I will concede that one.
Well, then why? So you think it's just crazy that
there's
it was a white horse?
White horses running around, man. The odds are low.
Nah.
Way more brown horses than white horses.
Nah. There's not a lot of white horses?
Not that I mean, how many white horses do you see in the Kentucky Derby, bro?
Not as many.
Not as many.
They're not as fast as the black horses.
Excuse me?
The white horses typically not as athletic as the darker horses is all I'm saying.
That seems problematic.
It's true. Or else you would see them in the Derby, would you not?
I just think there are less white horses around.
You think that's what it is?
Competing. Hmm. This is what I think.
I think the white horses are reserved more for the entertainment industry. Like, everybody wants to put them in their movies, you know, for whatever reason.
Yeah.
It's always a story about, you know, like, Game of Thrones.
Biblical,
the,
you know.
Yeah.
The Bible really set up the white horse to look.
Yeah.
To look like it was.
The white horse is just a fancy kind of, we're going to be in the movies kind of horse.
Right. Whereas, they set the white horse up to be the savior, to come and save things. I mean, that's
whereas the other horses kind of do all the work.
Yeah. So Trinity Bell commits to Tennessee, number 24 on the commitment list. That's the class is full. One spot. Again, like I said, there'll be some attrition. There will be some guys get shifted to be like, hey, you can come to Tennessee if you want, but you're going to have to be a preferred walk-on, bro. Can you still do the gray shirt, blue shirt combo? Yeah. Like, I know you can't overload classes like Butch Jones was doing here. I know that's pretty much gone.
I think now it's green shirt, yellow shirt.
They changed it to green
shirt.
They're
changing the colors of the shirts to try and make it more of a rainbow effect.
Okay.
Indigo shirt.
Joe Osave gets it done again, though. Tennessee won at Trinity Bell. And this guy, you know, 6'7", 260 pounds, listed as a tight end, but people I talk to that project this and read more about other people doing the same thing say that he's probably going to end up on your defensive line as a defensive end. With his quickness and size and athleticism, and they think he'd be a pretty big force on the defensive line. We're off and running as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Tennessee holds steady at number 2 in the recruiting rankings. That average star ranking went down a little bit over the last 2 days. Trinity Bell comes in as an 87, Cody, whereas Tennessee's average right now is hovering around 89.7. It's close to the 90 average ranking. Not that that's the end-all, be-all, but I'm just saying that's how you are ultimately going to judge this class and how it'll get sorted out when everybody has 25 commits.
Yeah. So he's skewing us down a little bit, but you know, you got to look at the offers. That's always important. Look at who you beat.
This guy, I mean, like I said, this guy is somebody we wanted, and in one breath, we have always said trust Jerry Pruitt's evaluations and like trust them to develop because they've done a pretty good job at that. So like, I don't get mad about it either way. Like I've maintained for me, recruiting comes down to give me 5 or 6 blue chips that I can look at, and even I could be like, that's an NFL player, or a guy that should be on track for the NFL. Those are typically your 5 stars, right? Guys you could look and say, that's T. Higgins. He is going to go to the NFL.
Those are the guys that stand out when you just look at them.
So I like having 5 or 6 of them in a class, and Tennessee has done that. So the rest of this filler stuff, like if you can get more elite guys, obviously that would be better. If you could go from 6 blue chips to 10 blue chips, that's ideal. But otherwise, Tennessee, over the last 2 years, has turned players from not good in college to good in college. So I don't get overly worried about these type of commitments.
Yeah, they seem to be able to develop a lot better than the last staff could, you know. So, and you just got to look at the talent on the staff, the coaching staff. I mean, pretty much everybody recognizes that Tennessee's got one of the best staffs in the country. So I think you got to trust them. Just knowing that, I think you got to trust them to go out and get the right players because they are used to picking out talent.
And the class isn't done. We talked about that yesterday with our Georgia argument. Like, you could still get rid of 5 or 6 of these 3 stars if you could upgrade. And Tennessee is still in the mix with some big-time players. So nothing is set in stone.
Yeah, if you have some major players start to trickle in, you know, you'll do what has to be done.
Are we at that point now where every time Tennessee gets a commitment where you're looking for the positives of it?
Well, I mean, the offer list is always a positive. Like, if they've got SEC offers, then you're not going to, you can't just look at them and be like, why did we let this guy commit? You know what right. I mean? If they've got SEC offers, I think they'll have a chance to play in the SEC.
Well, we had the Kameem Marley guy, right? And he didn't really have the SEC offers. But we looked at him and said, well, look at his rating. He's a top 150 athlete. And you have Mike Farrell saying this guy is, you know, maybe the best player in this class for Tennessee so far. So, like, we kind of moved the goalposts when convenient.
Well, he was more of a head scratcher to me, though. Like, he is the fifth highest rated prospect in the class, but it is weird that he doesn't have any SEC offers.
I mean, he had an offer from Florida. Which, at this point, I don't even care who Dan Mullen's offering because
And Ohio State and Penn State, right?
Right, yeah, but we're just talking strictly SEC. But, yeah, he had some from some good schools.
Yeah. So maybe it's not moving the goalposts too much if we
– because right here –
I mean, he did have some good offers.
Auburn and Florida and then at Kentucky. That's all of the SEC offers that Trinity Bell had right now. And I know that's not the end-all, be-all. I understand that.
Kiffin was interested. I guess they hadn't offered, though.
Yeah, they said they had did some work on him, but they had not officially offered. But this guy's a big-time athlete. Like, he has offers to play basketball, too. But like I said, I think he'll be somebody who ends up on the defensive line. Maybe a strong side defensive end, I think, is what people are projecting him for Cody. Put him there, get his athleticism. At his size, with his athleticism, I would imagine he'd be somebody who could cut, knock down a lot of passes at the line, too. 6'6", with basketball offers. I'm imagining he can get up a good 10 and a half, 11 feet in the air and be able to really get into passing lanes, which is a pretty big asset to have.
He's probably got some hops.
And if he bulks up even more and ends up as an interior lineman, like that helps too with batting passes down. Not your Terrence Cody nose tackle that's going to eat up space, but your interior lineman that can either get to the pass or get to the quarterback or stand up and just knock the ball down.
Right.
On those quick read option plays.
Yeah, he's more of that that five technique.
And I mean, he. I don't think he is somebody who could play basketball. Like, I know he said he had offers at the basketball level, but I don't think he's somebody that would play into Rick Barnes' future or anything like that.
What level did he have offers basketball wise?
Good question.
I mean, was it any?
It's a good question. It just says he had offers, but I don't think it's he's one of these the players we got last year that were top 100 basketball, top 150 football. Remember those guys?
Yeah. A couple of those guys are going to play basketball, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. They are, right? Was that even this year, or was that earlier this class? It might have been earlier than this class.
I think it was maybe this year.
Yeah. It's been a long year, bro.
Yeah. I don't remember who they are.
I'm looking up his basketball stuff. Nothing huge. I mean, St. Louis is a pretty good program, or was at one point. UAB, Jacksonville State. So, I mean, he's not an SEC level player, I wouldn't think.
St. Louis had a couple of good tournament runs.
Yeah.
I mean, they had, was it Rick Majerus?
Yep. With Rick Majerus, I mean, I picked them to go to the Final Four 1 year and they got beat.
Yeah. I remember that. I remember when you did that.
I'd say he's a 4-star, though. On ESPN's basketball rating, so I don't know.
You remember what St. Louis
you
was called?
I don't remember when I did that. That was 2014 when I did
you
that.
Sure?
2013, actually.
I think you did it again a couple years ago.
No, I didn't.
I think you it was somebody like that.
I mean, yeah.
I thought it was St. Louis.
No, it wasn't. I'll never pick St. Louis to win in the tournament ever again.
I think I remember it.
No, I don't think you do. It was 2013.
Was that the year they made a run, a decent run?
I mean, that was the year they were a 2 or 3 seed. They were really good, but they got beat in the second round, I'm pretty sure.
Same thing that would have happened to your group of five Dayton school this year had we had our tournament.
We did have our tournament.
Yeah, I know.
And Dayton won the national championship.
We played rock, paper, scissors.
Yes, and Dayton won the national championship.
You got to win a board bet off that.
Yes, you agreed to it.
I did. But, pretty sure they wouldn't have won in the national title.
I mean, it wasn't just Dayton versus the field. It also had Gonzaga and
none of them would have won. Villanova. A Power 5 team would have won the tournament. I think everybody realizes a Power 5 team would have won the whole thing.
I think the Rochambeau gods disagreed. They said Dayton won the national championship.
So now you're saying that the gods are why you beat me?
I'm saying
that they were on your side? Because you took a lot of credit for it the first time. You said you out-schemed me.
Who do you think I got?
Now you're attributing it to the gods.
Who do you think I got the knowledge from?
The gods?
The Rochambeau gods. Or.
Never heard of them.
Spin Zone. Maybe I am a Rochambeau god. Did you think about that?
No. I hadn't considered it up to this point.
Well, it's time for you to think about it.
Well, maybe I will.
Make your decision at that point.
Are they called, what are they called? Are they the Billikens?
Yeah.
Or something? Yeah. Yeah. What a weird name. What is a Billiken? Cam, is that some kind of a bird?
It's like a bat, I'm pretty sure, right?
Oh, yeah. Bats are canceled.
I mean, is it a Billiken? It looks like a bat, at least. Like, the logo looks like a, it's like a, no?
It's not an animal. It's like a.
It's like a fictional thing.
It's a
like,
charm doll created by an American art teacher.
Yeah, no, it's a fake what? Thing, but does it not look like a
bat it's like a little bit?
It does
kind of
look like a bat, but.
Kind of like a chupacabra?
A little bit like a chupacabra, but
Billikens.
It's like a good luck fit.
Maybe it looks like a bat mixed with a gargoyle.
Yeah.
It looks
it's
like
an elf kind of thing. Yeah.
It looks like a devil kind of.
Oh, okay.
Well, it's supposed to be good luck.
There's one on their. There's a statue of one on their campus. It kind of looks like a Buddha.
Well, I mean, it's a good luck charm.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm not sure how I feel about it. A Billiken.
Yeah, how did they come? How did they decide on that one?
It looks like a Buddha mixed with a devil, and maybe an old man with dementia. Hmm. Interesting, though.
We'll see where Trinity Bell ends up at. You know, at Tennessee, he's in the danger zone. I feel like if you are an upcoming senior, and you're already 265, 270. You got a real possibility of eating yourself out of tight end, right? Or just growing past tight end.
Yeah. Could end up like Andre the Giant.
Well, I wouldn't go that far of saying you could be Andre the Giant. But you could end up, like I said, getting stuck on the interior defensive line or just becoming a really big Derek Barnett type of defensive end pass rusher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Still waiting on Derek Barnett to be better than Myles Garrett in the NFL.
I'm still waiting for Myles Garrett to recover the game-winning fumble in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, Barnett's got a bigger moment. I mean, Myles Garrett's the better player, though, right?
I'd say Myles Garrett has a bigger moment. I mean, it was just him hitting a quarterback in the head with
a
helmet, but like
it's a bigger moment. Yeah.
I'd say Myles Garrett has a bigger moment.
That's a bigger moment.
Yeah, him,
but it's
him
not
taking
as...
a. I mean, his really only notable play in the NFL is taking a helmet and bashing someone's skull with it. But sure.
Not as much of an achievement, though.
No, but it's his biggest moment.
Yeah, it is a bigger moment, right? You're right about that.
Yeah.
And I appreciated it, for one.
Yeah.
What Myles Garrett did.
Not a lot of plays.
I wish he'd do it again.
Not a lot of plays jump out to me, although Derek Barnett did have his, he had a little bit of a trouble game against the Packers this year. I don't know if you guys remember on Thursday night. He had a couple of really bad cheap shots, including that one that knocked that guy out.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, when you're at that level, though, you just, you know, what you got to do what you got to do.
I would imagine right now Derek Barnett's feeling pretty good about his career versus Myles Garrett. So, I mean, like, Myles Garrett, again, number one pick, bigger name. But Barnett, you know, already the Super Bowl ring. Didn't bash in my skull. Hasn't been suspended.
Well, it's all about the rings. That's what they say.
Yeah, yeah.
Whoever has the most rings is the best player.
Tennessee found two commitments this week. Tennessee's been dominating the internet. Some people have a problem with it. We'll dive into that next as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Hi.
Tennessee's been hot this week. Two commitments. Millions of online impressions. The brand is on fire. But people, I woke up this morning and people were upset. It's been a while since we've had any Knoxville Station beef, but here we are. We have found ourselves on the opposite side.
Oh, no.
Of our crosstown cohorts.
What happened?
Somebody over at the other station is mad about the Coach Doug stuff and says that it's dumb and says that it's they don't like it. And then you had someone else say that they just don't want to be associated anything with Barstool and it's bad, and it's no good.
Sounds kind of lame. Why would you not want to be associated with Barstool?
Well, the
they're not professional enough.
It wasn't even that. It was the way they handled the Samantha Ponder thing.
Oh, my God. Are you serious?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
Now, keep in mind that these same people that the same station that, you know, doesn't like Barstool because of the Samantha Ponder stuff also defended Butch Jones all the way through his Title IX lawsuits, and so they don't really care about women. They just want to care about women now. You know what I mean? Like,
they certainly didn't care about Jalen Hurd's mom.
They didn't care about Jalen Hurd's mom, who was white.
Who was white.
They didn't care about her, and like I said, they defended Butch Jones all the way through the Title IX stuff, which doesn't really line up with caring about women either. But the Barstool Sam Ponder stuff is too far. Tennessee should not be getting into bed with Barstool Sports and Coach Doug.
How lame can you be? That's ridiculous. Who said? Is it anybody that matters?
I mean, I'd rather not like personally bash the people. The first guy I didn't know who he was. I had never heard of him.
Okay, I see it now. Yeah, nobody knows who this guy is.
I never knew who that guy was, and then
I'm not going to say his name on the air because he doesn't deserve publicity because nobody knows who he is.
But then there was another guy. Like I said, I don't want to like bash him personally. I'd rather just look at the entity.
That's a shame. Just made up with those guys not long ago.
Do you feel comfortable discussing this? Now that, like, I mean, like I said, there's been a peace offering of sorts. Like, I mean, there has been no real issues. And
yeah, I mean, you know, I thought everything was fine, but this is just, I mean, that's, how do you,
how,
you can't be that lame.
And I don't think you can pretend like, I mean, yes, Tennessee has wrapped their arms around the Barstool love and they have gone all in on it, and the coaches have gone all in on it. I don't know if you saw, but right at 9 o'clock, the Slice podcast. The Slice podcast dropped a episode with Barstool Big Cat as Coach Doug's talking about it. So, like, I mean, that's going to get listened to by a lot of people, which will ultimately help that podcast gain notoriety, which will then in turn allow the players that then use that platform to gain a bigger brand.
I mean, do they not understand how this is providing exposure for, like, the brand, the Tennessee brand?
I don't know.
They're saying it's a brand you don't want to be associated
with? I don't know. Like, we had no problem over at the university or at the other radio station being in bed with Pilot, who, you know, was being federally indicted for scamming the hardworking blue-collar truck drivers of America, and while doing so, having racial nicknames to talk about the Hispanic drivers. Like, we had no problem taking money from Pilot. We have no problem doing all of that at Tennessee or at the other radio station. So, like, I'm just confused at, like, where the outcry and the you know, the outspokenness of we're going to do things the right way, where that was then. That's my thing about it. And, you know, I don't blame people that don't like the Coach Doug stuff. Like, whatever. If you don't like it, though, you don't have to comment about it.
Why would you not like it, though? I mean, what's so bad about it, you know? I really don't understand. How much of a stiff do you have to be?
Again, it's the fact that there is a portion of the internet, Cody. I mean, this isn't an exclusive take that Barstool's bad.
Worse.
But there are a lot of people who feel like Barstool is bad. So, like,
yeah,
I understand not necessarily wanting or being excited about it, I guess. But, like, this isn't Dave Portnoy going on and doing something crazy. This isn't controversial. This is a video game character. And
I don't know, John. I did hear Big Cat say the F word last night during the Twitch broadcast.
Which F word are we talking about? Okay.
That one.
So not the homophobic slur.
No.
I was going to say, because that might take it to a level where you're like, okay, let's maybe don't use that when we're rocking the power tee, but the language I think is okay.
I don't know. I don't know. If your suit's pressed too tight, you might not be able to handle that word.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
These are the kind of guys that come in and do a radio show just wearing like suits. That's what they should do.
To wear suits?
They should come in and wear finely pressed suits to do their professional radio program. That's what they should do. We would never be associated with a brand like Barstool Sports. You want me to press your suit for you? You've got a bit of a wrinkle there. You mind if I take the iron to it?
Do you think it has anything to do with this station kind of going all in with the coverage, like me doing the video? You got Will eating burgers. You got the website pumping out content after content.
They were making fun of Will this morning.
We have really tried to get in on this, or at least have fun with it and attach ourselves to it and support it. Because, like I said, you are getting the Power Tee and Rocky Top plastered all over the place. And I think it's cool.
Well, it comes down to a very basic thing in life, right? Some people have a sense of humor. Some people don't.
Well, I don't think it's the lack of sense of humor, because they had no problem going to sleep on top of a car dealership to draw attention to Tennessee's like SEC losing streak, like, and that painted the university in a bad light. Like, they had no problem with that. So I'm not even going to go with the state run moniker here. Like, I know that gets thrown around a lot, but this is anti-state run right here. Like, they are saying, hey, Tennessee, I see you being in bed with Coach Duggs, and we don't like it. So I won't call them state run in this regard. They are taking a stance that's anti-UT, almost. It's kind of weird. And here we are kind of defending it, which...
It's not weird. I mean, they're taking the pro-boring stance, which is typically what they stand for. Not a lot of entertainment. Lots of boring talk. That's typically the side they're on, right?
Boring run radio?
Entertainment level, very, very low. Boring level, very, very high. Dry, unseasoned, basic versus exotic.
Again, I'm just trying to make it all add up, because they like women now. They supported Butch Jones during Title IX. They liked fun and being spunky whenever they had someone sleeping on a car dealership, drawing attention to Tennessee being losers. But they don't like this coach coming in and not taking things seriously and people liking it. So I'm just trying to keep up with it. I just don't know. But again, like, I'll give them credit. Is this the first time they've criticized Tennessee? This might be the first time they've criticized Tennessee.
I'm not giving them credit.
I mean, like, for a station, again, that a lot of people call state-run radio. Like, they are defying. They are looking at the state and saying, no, this is bad. This is a video game character, and we don't like it because they were mean to Samantha Ponder.
They could not care less about Samantha Ponder. They just view Barstool as unprofessional, and it's the same way that they view us, as unprofessional. There's a sector of sports nerds who want to stick to being sports journalists and go by the AP standards and all that and continue to have their journalistic integrity. A lot of people can't accept that things are changing, you know? And
I wouldn't even say things are changing. I would say things have changed already. Like, things have already changed.
It's for far too long we have been, as a society, too professional about sports. And Barstool perfected the unprofessional model. I mean, me and you kind of look at it the same way, right? We always have, like, it's supposed to be fun.
I wouldn't say we always have, because you used to go to high school games and write about high school athletes, and you were
when I was in college.
You were a very serious journalist. I thought, we always saw eye to eye, but we are.
I always looked at it the other way.
The last 4 years, we are, boom, right in line. Right in line, same steps, eye to eye. I mean, you saw, we're basically the same height. So
look,
if me and you stood toe to toe, nose to nose, we would be looking at each other right smack, eye to eye. So yes, we see eye to eye.
I always wanted to have fun. I always wanted to have a personality. I had to go the professional route for a little while to break into the field, okay? I had to do what I had to do.
You had to do what you have to do.
I was never that guy.
You're kind of that guy.
I had to pretend to be that guy for a little while.
I kind of think you were that guy.
No, I had to pretend to
be that
guy.
It's okay to evolve. It's okay.
Don't call me that guy. I was never that guy.
You played that guy.
I did what I did to get to the to where we're at now.
Were you going to say the top?
I did what I did.
This isn't necessarily
we're,
the top.
We're not at the top.
To get to where we are right now.
To get to where we are.
It started out
and
so
I'll
much stronger.
I'll continue to do whatever it takes.
Yeah.
If ESPN called up and said we're looking for a replacement for Adam Schefter, you know what I'd do? If they wanted me for some reason, I'd go straight back to professionalism.
Yeah.
It's all about how you can climb the ladder.
Means to an end. Means to an end.
But you got to, I mean, I just, I don't see how you just don't have any fun, you know?
But again, it was okay to be fun when it was going to stay and like do some glamping on top of a car dealership. You know, sit up there with electricity and a tent and like find a way to drum up some publicity there. That was fine. Even
and it wasn't even original because some guy did it back in like the 70s.
Yeah. And that story is circulated. So, I mean, like, that was okay, though. Like, that, they didn't need to be super serious then.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to figure it out. Like, I'm trying to connect the dots, and it's just not necessarily matching up.
Well, you know what?
I thought it was funny, though, that the University of Tennessee dropped their podcast at 9 a.m., though, when the show started. That was the person criticizing the Barstool brand, and that for the Lady Vols UConn game, for the UConn football game they're playing at 3 o'clock, they used a Lady Vols thing just – are still showing respect to women, I guess.
Well, I don't know about you, but when I think about the most bland foods out there,
mm-hmm.
rice always comes to mind pretty close, top of the list. So,
stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Volunteer Vibe. Round and round, round they go. Your boy, SEC Mike, ranked the 2020 coaches. Do you see his rankings?
No. I haven't seen Mike's rankings.
How would you rank the SEC? Good? How would you rank the SEC coaches?
The SEC coaches?
Yeah.
I'd rank them in order, probably.
Yeah?
Like from best to worst. So I would do it.
I usually go worst to best.
Do you really?
Yep.
You start at 14 and count down? So that people keep reading until you get to number one.
Have you ever heard me do power rankings? I start at 5 every time.
I do too.
Okay, so I guess you do this way too.
I'm just thinking, like, if you're writing it though, I guess it would be best to keep people engaged and start at 14, 13, 12, 11, 10.
That's how I would personally do it. I know, like, when you know NFL power ranking season comes around, like AP top 25 and stuff, they start
it's
at the top.
Order
there,
at the
yeah.
top, yeah.
I would prefer to go start from the bottom and then get here.
To start at the bottom and then get here.
Yeah.
Hope that's on our music quiz today.
You, SEC Mike, I don't know if he was just trying to drum up some interest, but he's a name that I think, you know, SEC people give some credibility to, and he had Ed Orgeron at number one.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Mike did.
Ed O at number one.
Mike's always looking to have a little fun.
Seems a little aggressive, Ed O at number one.
I mean, just based on who's hottest right now, I guess it's...
Is there a case for Ed Orgeron being the best coach in the SEC in 2020? Like, is there a chance that Ed O is now the face of the SEC?
No.
That he has now figured it out. He knows how to have fun. He's not going to play boring football. He's going to recruit. And he's going to fire up his team enough to go out and beat Alabama. And pass Nick Saban. Keep in mind, I know LSU lost a lot of players, but keep in mind, Cody, that Alabama does travel to Baton Rouge this year. Because LSU went and beat them in Tuscaloosa last year. So they will have a chance to have Alabama come to Baton Rouge, to Death Valley.
I mean, look, when you take a look at that game and, like, this year in general, the lack of quarterback play around the conference tells me that any game could, like, between Florida, Georgia, Bama, LSU, Auburn – maybe throw Tennessee in there, here and there. I think there will be quite a bit of parity.
Okay, so you look at this year as wide open just because of the quarterbacks. Like,
well, yeah,
no quarterback is so good that you don't see them laying an egg and having a bad game. Like, it's just going to be a, I don't want to say a toss-up every game, but a favorite team's quarterback could self-combust. Like, I don't even know who LSU's quarterback is.
Right, like Mac Jones could, or what is his name?
Mac Jones.
Okay, not Mac Wilson.
No, Mac Jones.
And not Matt Jones
Williams. I think you said Matt Williams the other day. So.
And not Brian Williams.
Nope.
Who was a Tennessee basketball player and an NBC anchor.
He might have lied about being an LSU quarterback at one point.
Maybe. So Mac Jones could easily lose them that game in the fourth quarter at LSU.
Sure.
You know? And you could say the same about LSU's quarterback. Like, if Alabama had Tua, without a doubt,
sure,
I think they win the SEC.
They don't have Tua.
Or if LSU had Burrow again, I'd take LSU all day. You know? But the lack of good quarterback play, to me, I think we're going to see a lot of games in the 20s. We're going to see some old-school SEC football again this year.
So is there a chance Edo is the king of the SEC coaches right now? Won a national championship. I don't think anyone's arguing that Saban is on the rise. And I don't think many people would say that Saban is as good now as he was 2 years ago. Agree? Right, disagree? Right, like
right. No, I agree, but I still think the gap between Saban and Coach O.
And that's completely fine, but we all agree universally that Saban is on the decline, correct? That doesn't mean that it's a steep decline, but like he is headed down. He is on the backstretch. He has reached the peak, and he is now winding down.
Would you be surprised if he had one more natty in him?
No, I wouldn't be. I don't think it's going to be a natty where he is the clear-cut best team. Like, I think it's one that he gets to the playoff, and it's like, okay, well, they can win. They're just as good as anybody else. But the days of Alabama versus the field, to me, are gone.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like it used to be.
Is that fair to say the days of Alabama versus the field are gone?
Yeah. Hopefully the days of going into the Alabama game and just knowing you're going to get beat are over.
I will say that won't be over for us. I mean, I guess there's a chance it could be over this year where we can go in and feel like we have a chance to win. I mean, Mac Jones had pretty good numbers, but I mean, he had two first-round receivers. You know what I mean? And I know he's still got a good receiver there now, but like Jerry Jeudy and Henry Ruggs were game breakers, and both those guys are gone.
I'm just saying for a lot of years, like against Georgia and against Florida, we never said we're going to lose.
Well, even though I think a lot of people would disagree about the Florida one.
Even though we did many of those years.
A lot of people thought you were going to lose to Florida no matter what.
It seems to me like there's hope against Florida every year. I look at that the opposite way.
I think that's the problem is you have hope and then you lose 11 in a row. 11 in a row, 11 in a row.
Right, but you don't have hope against Alabama. Like, to me, I don't even like, for the last few years, my dad's had season tickets and stuff, and I've gone to games with him, but I didn't, a lot of times, I didn't even really want to go to the Alabama game because I knew what would happen.
Well, we are beating Alabama this year, so, I mean, I guess your hypothesis is correct. We are beating Alabama this year. That is going to happen.
I don't know about that, but I'm simply saying that.
It ain't no guess, it's what's going to be.
I'm simply saying I've never gone into Florida and Georgia and knew for sure, even though I knew we'd probably lose, I never went into those games and thought, you know, we're going to get beat down here. Alabama, you always feel
2017 Georgia, you didn't feel like we were going to get beat down?
You always feel that way. I mean, I figured.
2018 Georgia, you didn't feel that way. 2019 Georgia, you didn't feel like this is going to be bad. You thought Tennessee could win those games.
Don't pick out.
Well, I'm just asking about the last 3 years. Georgia's
hit that
level.
You don't have to nitpick it. Look from 2012 to like 2016.
Well, sure, but Georgia was a team that was ranked in the top 20,
and they've gotten much better.
Right. So I mean,
since Kirby got there,
as Georgia not hit that level though, is what I'm saying. Like,
yeah,
17.
But like,
you knew that. Some people got excited. You checkered the stadium, whatever. You got beat 41-0. Like anyone with half a damn brain knew that was coming.
I don't know we'd get shut out.
Well, but I mean, you knew that you weren't going to win that game. You knew that you couldn't handle them. At least I felt that way. 2018, 2019, similar thoughts. I mean, not nitpicking. I'm just saying I feel like Georgia's hit that level.
I just don't think it's Alabama level. Because I don't remember going into an Alabama game in the last since 2006 and really thought we got a chance to win this game.
So 2016, you didn't think you had a chance? I mean, you were coming off the A&M loss. You were only
deep down, no.
Yeah,
deep down, I didn't. Like, even though we were ranked ninth in the country, I mean, I didn't think it was going to be 49-10.
Sure,
you know, but deep down, I knew Alabama would beat us. But I don't ever feel that way against Florida. Maybe Georgia more so in the last couple of years. But my point is that I think that we're going to start going into the Alabama game and maybe looking at it more like Florida-Georgia.
Well, we're beating them like in 2020.
Like maybe there's a chance, you know?
I just want to say it again. We are beating them in 2020.
You're going to put that on the board?
Give me 5 board bet wins.
Okay.
5-1?
Yeah, sure.
No, I put it on
sure.
the board.
Yeah,
put that
on the board. Okay, it's on the board.
Yeah. Thank you. I could go ahead and wrap up next year's board bets with just the Tennessee game. Sad to see Crimson Cody back to his ways.
It's going to be 1 board bet win for me. We're not ready to beat Alabama.
Crimson Cody back. We are going to be. I think they play 8 straight games. We're coming off a bye week. Perfect storm.
That's happened before.
Yeah, but you just said we're not going into the game thinking we're going to lose anymore.
I'm saying we're getting closer to that.
Exactly. So the eight straight games, going off a bye week.
We're not going to beat Alabama this year.
It's okay. It's on the board. 5-1. We agree to those odds. 5-1 odds.
You always have to make it some kind of. Yeah, you always have to have special odds.
So do you want to take it off the board? Because it's already on there. You can't really
You've
take
always
it off.
Got to have some special
Less
odds.
Permanent
you,
marker.
You can't
permanent
just
marker.
Go.
It's on the board.
You can't ever just go 1-1, you know?
I mean, you could negotiate. You could have got me down to 3-1 or 2-1, but you gave me 5-1.
It's fine because I know we're going to beat Alabama or that we're not going to beat Alabama.
Yeah, you know. All right.
I misspoke.
Hour 1 in the books. Hour 2 on deck. Ed O. I do wonder what next year looks like or this year looks like for LSU. Because we do acknowledge Nick Saban's on the decline. But I don't think we expect LSU to keep it rolling, although they do have some elite talent still. Jeremy Pruitt was ranked number 9 behind Gus Malzahn and Mike Leach. Mike Leach number 7.
Mike likes Mike.
We'll kick off hour 2 with headlines. Stick with us.
Your pet is an important part.